I'm Emma Curtin, host of a new true crime podcast called Murder Archives. It's set in Toorak in 1929 about the murder of Norma Rees-McLeod. Search for Murder Archives where you're listening right now.
Glenn, you know Australians are more stressed than ever before.
Well, hello. Look over this side of the table.
We've got a new sponsor, Beyond Rest, and they are basically places you can go in Melbourne for flotation tank experiences.
I don't think you realise how good those places can be, because they take you to a place that you didn't realise existed in yourself, because you're so caught up with the world. You go in there, you sit in that beautiful salt water that's body temperature.
Yep.
You float. The only tip I would give is make sure you cover up your sores with a bit of Vaseline, because the salt will hurt you.
Oh.
And don't do what I did, which I sat in there for an hour and got very relaxed, then stepped out. The door closed on my head, banged on my head, and then I slipped over on the wet floor.
But that was not at Beyond Rest.
No, not at all. No. I'm serious, though. They are wonderful. And you can't help but feel fantastic.
Yeah, so there's quite a few centres around Melbourne. Go to beyondrest.com.au for the deepest experience possible. Love-filled temples of relaxation.
Just watch what happens. But you know what it's like? It's like when you, just before you go to sleep, you in that in-betweeny.
Yes.
It's like doing that for an hour. You come out just feeling in touch with the, you know what it is? It's putting you back to factory settings. That's what I call it. It's putting you back to where you should be. So if you're feeling a bit hype, it brings you down. Feeling a bit flat brings you up. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about.
Beyondrest.com.au. A business venture by Glenn Robbins. It's not. Glenn, just a question about Russell Coit, which I've been enjoying.
But hang on, we're doing the podcast.
Yeah, we're doing the podcast now.
Yeah, and you're going to ask me something personal?
No, it's not personal. It's just about the Russell Coit show.
I don't want to sound like we're promoting something.
Oh, no, it isn't. No, we're not promoting it.
You want me to answer? Okay, fire away.
We're not promoting it. Well, we are promoting it, but I'm watching it with the kids, and they wanted to know, do you do your own stunts?
That's a good question.
Because someone... I was doing radio with Jane Kennedy, and she said on air that you do your own stunts.
I do most of them. In the first series, I did most of them.
Then you were younger then.
Yes. I got a singer's card.
Because, you know, I interviewed the goodies. You got a singer's card.
I have. So you've got to acknowledge the fact that you can't do what you used to do.
Well, I interviewed the goodies once, and goodies. And they used to do all their own stunts. And you'll look at their stunts in the 70s.
Yeah.
Falling off cars and
they
said they couldn't do them now. But anyway, I wanted to ask you about a specific stunt.
Yes.
where in the first episode you were standing on top of the Land Rover and then you fell onto the ground.
Yeah.
Was that you falling down or was that a dummy?
Well,
don't ruin the magic, actually.
Because it's often I have this conversation at home where I want to describe to my family how I did it, and they glaze over. They're going, what? It's a bit like going, oh, I'm a puppeteer, and there are strings up there, and I stand above it, and I pull the string, and they're going, I just want to watch the puppet.
Yeah, well, it's true. It's like when people explain a magic trick, and magicians always go to me, you don't want to know.
You don't want to know, because you just go with the magic of it.
Right.
Look, there are some things that I do. I'll say it's a combination of good editing. It's a combination of some television trickery, but not much. It's pretty much what happens.
Because it can happen so... quickly,
yes,
because I was in the backyard the other day and we had a gardener come over and look at trees and stuff, and she said, do you realise on your fig tree you've got an old stump resting upright on it, and that's going to fall over and it could hurt someone?
Yep.
It's all rotted.
Yep.
I just thought it was part of the tree. And so I got in the backyard with my youngest son, Barney. I said, mate, just hold that branch back and I'm going to push a stick and that log's going to come down. But when it happened so quickly and it was so violent. I just thought...
Yeah.
Like anything could have happened.
Yeah. That's right. You don't know. We
do you get that vibe sometimes when you're doing stunts? Where,
yes.
Oh, my God, that was so quick. Anything could have happened?
Yeah. You can get a bit overexcited by the humour of it, so therefore you don't focus on the safety of it, and you've got to be very careful.
Well, that's how I've injured myself. I fell off stage.
Yeah,
I broke a leg.
Yep. Trying to be funny. You just become the bravest guy in the room.
You think you're the bravest. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I got on a motorbike in the first series, and I wanted to prove them because, you know, I've got soft hands. I like a nice...
Yeah, you're not a man's man.
No, I wouldn't say I was a man's man. I mean, I've got potpourri around the house and, you know, and I burn a scented candle occasionally.
Cats.
I like a bit of meditation. I get into a flotation tank, as we say on this show. But so I wanted to prove to them that I was a man. So they said, Glenn, we're just going to get some general shots of Russell riding a motorbike around the farm. I said, no worries, I can ride a motorbike, and I'll zoom past the camera. And they said, we've only got this old farm one here. There is the problem, this old farm one.
Yeah.
I got on, and I zoomed round and round, and going, how good am I looking on this? And then I zoomed past the camera, down the paddock, towards the fence. It locked open, the throttle locked open, and the brakes stopped working. So I was flying down the hill towards a fence that I couldn't, on a motorbike, I couldn't control. So
did you hit the fence?
I squealed, jumped in the air, and landed on my bum back, waiting for something bad to happen, and laid there for a minute going, I think I'm all right. But it scared me enough to not do too many stunts anymore. Whoa. Like, for example, there's another stunt where I had to jump off, and the joke was I jumped off a ledge and landed on
the next ledge down.
Yeah. To do that, I obviously had to jump all the way into the water. And you hit the water hard, and that was croc water.
Oh,
so as soon as I hit the water, I'm going, get me out of here. I'm just going, I always hear the rangers talking to me in my head as things are happening. I always go, well, that's funny. We've never seen a croc round here before. I don't know how. That's funny. We haven't seen a croc here in about 20 years. You're really unlucky.
As your leg gets bitten off.
Yeah. So, look, the truth be known, let's not spoil the magic, but I do most of my own stunts.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, you're like Tom Cruise. Oh, here's the music.
Hello,
yeah,
and welcome.
Well, enough of me. Yeah, it's music which says stop the showbiz anecdotes. It's Sam. Oh. Sam's listening. She's bringing the music in, and good to see her again. Oh, gee, I love her being part of the show. Anyway, bring it on, Sam.
Yes.
Hello, and welcome to Somehow Related. And now, please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
All right, well, welcome to our podcast. We get two topics. They don't sound related at all, but they are somehow related.
Somehow related.
And you get the answer at the end. So should we get our topics?
Oh, yeah, far away.
Okay, go.
Blondie and Ted Bundy.
Lobs to your forehand.
I love Blondie. I've interviewed Blondie.
Oh, now I'm interested.
Deborah Harry and her drummer and keyboardist, who've been with
I reckon
start.
I know his name, Chris Stein.
Yes.
Yes.
How do you know that?
I don't know how I know. All I know, he was sick. That's how I know.
Yeah, she looked after him.
He had a skin problem.
Then he got better, and he left her.
He leave her?
Yeah, I'm sure of it. I'm pretty sure.
Well, you've been on Spicks and Specs.
Well,
how many times?
53.
53 times. Of anyone?
Should we ask Sam, what is the relationship between Blondie? Because he was the main songwriter, but I don't reckon I interviewed him. I reckon he'd left the band by then. What is the relationship between Blondie and Chris Stein, was it?
Yeah.
He was the main songwriter in Blondie.
Sam, have you got anything that you found?
Are you a fan of gossip and music, Sam?
In the mid-1980s, she took a few years off to care for Stein while he suffered with pemphigus, a rare autoimmune disease that affects the skin and mucous membranes. Stein and Harry broke up in 1989 but continue to work together.
Wow. Thanks, Sam. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. She took time off to look after this guy.
Skin condition.
And then he left her.
Can I just make it about me for a moment?
Yeah.
Because I went to my skin doctor the other day, and she said that thing that you don't want to hear when you go to the skin doctor.
She said, let's make a mole map. And I say, Sandra from... It's one of my jokes I do.
That is
from Wagga Wagga. I always pick my crowd, though. I don't do that with every crowd.
Really? It doesn't resonate all the time?
Well, with older people in our generation, it goes very well. But if they're young hipsters...
They don't know what the word mole means, do they?
No, they don't. Well, they sort of do, but also might be deemed a little bit...
Anyway.
Whatever.
She said to me, look, it all looks good, but that one there, we want to keep an eye on it. And then she said, look, come back in 6 weeks, but don't worry about it. Yeah, I'm not going to worry about it.
Google, straight onto Google.
Yeah, look at you. Oh, but can I say, you sit in the waiting room at the skin doctor,
and there's
a woman sitting just over from me, and just above her head is all the different things you can get. Yeah, and you know what? I don't want to look at that. And what's the point of looking at it now? I'm about to go in there with an expert, so I'm staring at one I'm going, melanoma, that looks pretty simple. Maybe I've got a melanoma. And the woman thinks I'm staring at her. And I didn't want to say I'm staring at the moles above your head. So it was a bit of a weird moment as I was going through the chart thinking what I had. Anyway, so she then I come back 6 weeks later. She goes, yeah, it's still there. We might. What I'm going to do is a little scraping and send it off. They do a scrape.
Yeah, I've done that before.
Yeah, and they send. Oh, you've had this done?
Yeah.
So she sends it off, and then she goes, it'll take a week, but don't worry about it. Oh, God, yeah, okay. Don't worry about it. Right, Mr. Bloody Neurotic will worry his pants off. So then she rings me and go, that's right. So during that week, I'm looking at this scar on my head.
Yeah.
And I happened to do it when I was in a public toilet, and I just looked in the mirror and touched it a bit.
Fell off?
No, it was sort of open. And then I touched my penis with the same finger.
Then
I thought to myself, I've just, it's just like the start of a bad movie.
Yeah.
I've got cancer of the penis.
I don't think it works.
No,
like
you
that.
Can't. But in neurotic mind, anything can happen. Okay, it's the movies. I wasn't trying to be funny, but in my mind, I'm going, if it is, then maybe I have. So then she rang me and said, "Look, it's fine, but you know they're saying it's okay, and they haven't found anything." Blah, 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 blah. And I told her the story. I think she must hear that story a lot because she didn't laugh much.
Anyway. What about you touching your penis?
Yeah, I did tell her the story on the phone. I said, I've got to tell you. I won't say what her name. I've got to tell you, I did touch my penis the other day. She goes, can I reassure you, you cannot from your head to your penis. But you know what? Not unreasonable.
No.
Not unreasonable. Anyway, so I think if he had a skin condition, he must have been in a bad way.
He was in a very bad way.
And she got him back to healthy and then they broke up.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he dumped her for a younger woman.
When his skin got better.
Yeah. No one wanted to go with old skin disease. And then when he got better...
Oh, craggy face.
The old rock and roller, Chris Stein. And then... But yeah, I did interview her and... because she started Blondie.
Hang on. When you say interviewed her, what does that mean? On the phone?
No,
in the room?
No, in the room with her.
Wow, that's top shelf.
Her and the keyboardist and the drummer. But Chris Stein wasn't there.
You by yourself?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember. Yeah, might have been by myself because often with radio interviews, they'll be coming in later and several people in the team
unavailable.
Will go, I can't be fucked hanging around. Do you want to do it? You're the music person. You do it.
And I reckon you would have handled that well.
Oh, yeah. No, they were great. And you know what? The drummer and the keyboards are really interesting too.
And you would have been dropping little bits of interesting
information
info.
That I know.
Bang.
I mean, I do like Blondie.
Yeah.
I do love Blondie. When I want to hear Blondie songs on the radio.
I can only remember one because I'm not a big music person. Hanging on the telephone. Is that one of theirs?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
What about The Tide Is High?
How's that go?
The tide is high and I'm old enough. If you listen to like commercial radio for a day...
You'll get a Blondie song.
Yeah, probably. Now, she's had a lot of hits.
They broke up, reformed?
They broke up and reformed, I think, basically. Or maybe they're one of those bands that never broke up but you thought they broke up.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So they're still hanging around doing gigs.
Oh, yeah. You'll see them playing wineries and stuff and, you know
it is the...
You know those ones where you see all people our age down the front getting pissed, dancing and the bloody getting sunburned? And you'll have to get on. One of my friends went on and said, you have to get a bus. Everyone gets on the bus and goes to the winery. That sounds like a nightmare to me.
Oh, yeah. So she would be...
She was in her 30s when Blondie were big in the 80s.
So she's be...
She's like late 60s.
Yeah.
When I interviewed her, she was like...
And that can look a little tragic when you see someone who was a... You know what I mean? They're still doing what they did 30, 40 years ago. I think she's still doing okay. Isn't she? With the lead singing stuff, looking okay.
Her voice. Look, the thing is, her voice is still great. See, I've seen a few of those 80s guys, like, for example, Paul Young, who sang Wherever I Lay My Hat, That's My Home.
Yeah.
Living in the Land of the Common People. And his voice was quite high.
Yeah.
You are living in the land.
And now?
Now his voice is shot.
Yeah.
So when I saw him.
It can be a bit sad.
With the guy from Spanner Ballet, Tony, they were doing a show together, and his voice is still good. So he would come out and say, "They are gold," you know. And Paul Young would come and go, "Living in the land of the common people," and then he kept motioning to the tech, blaming him.
Right.
Don't blame the tech.
You know when they're completely gone when they have the lyrics on a little TV in front of them.
Oh, and you know what the other sign is? Four backup singers just coming in with. Living in the land of the common. You're not even doing anything.
You're doing karaoke of your own song. I mean, surely.
But yeah, I love Blondie, and I don't. Ted Bundy.
Blondie rhymes with Bundy.
Oh yeah. Well, Ted Bundy.
Okay, let's just go back.
Ted Bundy is a serial killer, and he was a good looking serial killer. I remember that.
Quite charismatic. Drove a Volkswagen.
Drove a Volkswagen.
Which is, you know, they actually. How weird is this? They put it in a museum. It's bizarre,
the,
isn't
the Volkswagen,
it? The
Volkswagen.
The actual is at...
Well, that's like...
Sam, can you please check? I think it might be in a museum or might be in Alcatraz. I think it's in Alcatraz, which is weird. A car... Isn't Alcatraz on an island?
Yeah, it's off San Francisco.
So you're going, okay, this is a pretty morbid place, and we're just going to whack
the... It's like the Unibomber shed is in a museum. You know now, the Unibomber?
Is that appropriate?
I don't reckon... I don't know. You know what? We watched that show about the Unibomber, my partner and I, and I said, oh, I'd love to see that shed. She goes, oh, you're sick.
Well,
see, I wouldn't want to see Ted Bundy's car, but I'd love to see the Unibomber shed. Anyway.
Yeah, there is a rubbernecking element to that that is not...
Yeah, a bit gruesome.
It is a little bit gruesome.
I mean, how many people did he kill, Ted Bundy? All I know is that he used to get people in his car, didn't he? Let's see, where is it, Sam?
Sorry, Sam, we did ask you a question.
It was originally at the Museum of Crime and Punishment in Washington, D.C. on display until the museum closed in 2015. It has since moved to Alcatraz East Crime Museum in Tennessee, not the island.
Oh, thank
so
you,
it's actually
Sam.
Not on the island, it's in another museum.
Okay, but yeah.
Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, Sam. Well done.
But you were pretty much right.
Yeah, Alcatraz. Is that Alcatraz Museum, is it? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, something like that.
Okay. Well, I don't know much about Ted Bundy. I've read a few of those books about serial killers, but they always make me sick. You know the only bit I like about those books? I can't stand hearing how they got people and murder them, but I like the way how they got caught.
Yeah, I like it. But I think
those police techniques.
Seriously, go through the podcast number one hits.
Oh, like the true crime ones.
All true crime.
Like the Michelle Laurie one, which is very good.
Yeah, yeah. It's storytelling, and you're going, you do try to work it out. I mean,
well, did you see have you ever read the book about how they caught Ivan Milat?
No.
They did a cross-reference on people that owned four-wheel drives and guns, and also then again cross-reference with people that had come forward with information about the killings. And... lo and behold, one of the Milat brothers had come forward and given information about he saw the killers in the forest and whatever.
Mm.
And so one of the cops went, that's interesting. And then he cross-referenced all the gun owners, four-wheel drive owners, and the Milats kept coming up. So that was how they caught him, though.
I mean, I find it fascinating. I mean, so I'm guilty of, and I don't like to think that I'm being morbid, but I do find that the process is fascinating.
The process is, yeah. And it must be so frustrating. Because, you know, they always go, oh, they always speak to the... I mean, if you watch Law and Order on TV, they always speak to the criminal in the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's either the cleaner or the teacher or the dad. It's one of those three.
Yeah.
Because that's what they always say. Because, like, say, with the, you know, with the Mr. Cruel cases in Melbourne where this guy kidnapped three teenage girls... let two of them go, then eventually killed one of them, which was horrific.
Mm.
They always reckon they knew who he was, or they'd interviewed him. They always say, oh, we've definitely interviewed him. We just can't work out or pin him down.
Mm.
So that must be incredibly frustrating for those detectives.
Anyway, he was executed, yes. I think he got the electric chair, I think.
But what's the connection with Blondie?
Oh, well, I...
Was he a big Blondie fan?
Well, maybe.
You know what? I remember the war, though. I've actually looked this up. It's an urban myth that Charles Manson auditioned for the Monkees because he was a musician.
Well, that's somehow related. That is
somehow related, but it's not true, apparently. Because we only like to do true ones on here.
Yeah.
He auditioned for the Monkees, but it's not true because he was sort of a budding musician around the time they were asking for people to audition for the Monkees. But it wasn't true, apparently.
What's that really good joke about Charles Manson? Yeah, shouldn't say good joke, but I had a sauna with Charles Manson the other day, and he said, is it hot in here or am I crazy?
How would you feel if, like, Charles Manson, I mean, I think he's dead now, but if he came out and said, I'm a big Russell Coit fan, how would you feel about that?
That's a very good question.
Because surely you get guys in prison would watch TV. I know I've been in prison for gigs, and they watch a lot of TV.
Yes, I've had...
And I'm sure something like Russell Coit would be a big in the prisons of Australia.
I've had certain members of that world approach me in certain environments, and it's scary and somehow... I don't want to tell the stories because I don't want to upset them.
Yeah.
They might be listening. I don't want to talk lightly of my, you know...
But it's fair to say, all those underbelly guys, they love comedians and love footballers.
Yep.
They love hanging out with... Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you would have rubbed shoulders with a bit of that, wouldn't you?
A few of them, yeah. But
approached you at gigs and stuff?
Not much, but I've seen some of them, yeah. Yeah. I remember doing a
gig. You don't want to not be nice to them.
I remember doing a gig at the comedy club. I did a lot of gigs in Carlton. It doesn't exist anymore. And the woman saying, look, do yourself a favour and don't talk to the front table.
Oh, yeah.
And it was Gangitano and all those guys that are from the
Don't
Carlton
make fun
group.
Of them. Don't embarrass them.
Don't make fun of them. But they were laughing and having a good time.
Yeah. Alan Havey, the American comedian, who is my, doppelganger?
Yeah, he's a bit of a doppelganger of yours. Yeah.
Yeah. He was telling the story how he was doing a gig in New York and he started making fun of the guy in the front row, and the guy had a jacket on, and he just opened up his jacket and revealed a handgun.
Yeah.
It's like...
Anyway, what's going on over here?
So, at least we don't have that happening in Australia.
No, we don't have guns.
Yeah, we don't have guns.
So, Ted Bundy, serial killer.
Ted Bundy, look.
Blondie. I've got a bit of a theory.
Yeah. Well, here's an idea. Mm. Are we ready to have a little bit of think music? Can I suggest something to Sam? Ted Bundy, Al Bundy.
Oh, Al Bundy from Married.
Yes.
Married with Children.
Why don't we hear. I didn't mind that show.
That was funny.
Funny. Why don't we hear a little bit of.
Did they choose that surname because...
You would have to say...
Why would you choose a serial killer? Were they trying to be funny?
Yeah, ironic.
I assume they were.
Because
Should we ask Sam that?
Oh, that's poor old Sam.
That's a tough one, though. Sam?
I don't think she's going to know
that.
What
if there's any information out there? Why was Al Bundy named after a serial killer? Was that meant to be funny?
The Bundy and Rhodes families were named after professional wrestlers. They were King Kong Bundy, who guest starred in two episodes, and Dusty Rhodes. Contrary to popular belief, the Bundys are not named after the serial killer Ted Bundy.
Wow, so named after wrestlers.
So that wasn't after Ted Bundy.
Oh, there we go. Well, we sorted that one out.
Good on you, Sam. But having said that, it would be fun to hear a bit of Al Bundy.
Oh, he was funny.
At his best. Sam, just grab a random scene from the TV show. What was it called again?
Married with Children.
Married with Children. Love and marriage.
Grab it. Don't grab any Ted Bundy, please. Grab Al Bundy. Yeah. We want Al Bundy talking. We don't need to hear Ted Bundy.
Well, you haven't been very nice to my family.
Well, neither is nature. Go bother it.
Now, Al, you know I don't ask much of you because I know how severely limited you are. But please do me a favor and just say something to them.
Yeah. Go home. Does that take care of it, Peg?
That's a nice start. Just show them that you care.
Go home and drive safely.
Classic.
Oh, Al Bundy, funny.
Yep.
Now, of course, he's in Modern Family, that actor. Ed O'Neill.
Oh, gee, you're good. Yeah, Ed O'Neill. Once you got it, you got it.
Funny man.
Yeah.
Funny man. All right, I've got a theory. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah,
well, my theory is the child. I think Ted Bundy auditioned for Blondie as a drummer. That's what I reckon.
What makes you say that?
Well, looking at photos of Ted Bundy, he was a good-looking guy. He could have been a musician.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, he was charismatic.
Yeah, he could have been a drummer or a guitarist.
That's a good...
What's your theory?
Well, mine's made a little more obvious. I'm going to say that he was inspired, unfortunately, to do some of the stuff that he did by a Blondie song.
A Blondie song.
Yeah, I mean, you know...
She did one called... Tearing up, wrapped in. What's that Blondie song? What was her first single, Sam? Her first single was called Wrapped in. No, Tearing, Stabbing. There was one that sounded a bit violent.
Rip Her to Shreds.
Oh!
Thank you, Sam. Rip Her to Shreds. That's the one I was thinking of.
Oh, oh my I could God. Be onto something here.
And In the Flesh. That's a great song. Ooh, In the Flesh. All right, well,
Blondie, enough of me. Sorry,
I think you might be onto it.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, Sam, we need to hear the answer.
Deborah Harry, the lead singer of Blondie, claims that serial killer Ted Bundy convinced her to get into his car when she walked across a road in New York. It was the early hours of the morning and there were no taxis. She noticed there were no door handles and the car interior was stripped bare. Only later did she learn that the driver was Ted Bundy, who became one of the world's most notorious serial killers. She was able to get her arm out the window and open the door from the outside while the car was still moving.
Wow, that's amazing. So,
and she realized at the time.
Deborah Harry got in the car with Ted Bundy.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
You'd be lying in bed at night going, oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, they reckon there's people that got lifts with Ivan Milat. And he did, you know, like that British... Again, one of the reasons he was arrested, the British backpacker who got out and ran from him.
Yep.
Imagine that poor guy. just lying in bed at night thinking, ugh.
Your instincts are funny, aren't they? They do. They know before your instincts go off very early on, and then you start to put it together. Oh, well, this is bad. God, this is terrible.
Something.
And she was managed to get out of the car, and she did. And there were no handles on the door.
Yeah, creepy.
So that's a really hard thing to do, to put your arm out the window and open the door from the outside.
Yeah.
How do you do it? Maybe the car was moving. Anyway, good on you, Blondie.
No, the car, the car was moving.
Yeah.
She jumped out. Wow. Well done, Blondie.
Well done, Blondie.
And you created so many good songs and you're still rocking.
Yeah. And she lifts us on the tail.
Love Blondie.
Well, it's, well.
Well, thank you, Sam. That's been awesome.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Now, Glenn, what, I mean, I'd love to see Blondie, but what was the last live band you saw?
Oh.
There's a question.
Oh.
There's a question.
Well, I'm going to have to say, unfortunately, I take it back. My brother, Jack Robbins, plays...
Hang on, is this your nephew?
Yeah. My brother, did I say?
Yeah, your brother.
Brother. My nephew. So thanks for correcting me.
Hang on, the guy that fixes washing machines in a band on the weekend.
That's Phil.
That's Phil.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so the other brother.
Yeah, Phil's son, Jack, is in a band. And I can't remember the name of the band.
Well, that's all right.
Can I ask Sam?
Sam? So what's she got? Sam, what's Jack Robbins' band's name?
The band is called Forever Sun.
Well done, Sam. That is absolutely correct.
Forever Sun.
Yeah. I went and saw him do a... hotel in St Kilda.
Prince of Wales.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did a gig there. And, this is really embarrassing. I have my other nephews, sons of my other brother, they are also in a band.
Whoa.
And their names are...
is Sam going to know this?
That's quite popular.
Are they quite popular band?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it like Powderfinger or someone I'd know?
It's Nick and Harry Robbins.
Nick and Harry Robbins.
Not Harry.
You got a lot of nephews. Do they have girls, these guys, or do they have boys? Okay, Nick Robbins.
Nick and Pat.
Nick and Pat. Nick and Pat Robbins.
Yeah, are in a band called...
Sam, what are they called?
Crepes.
Correct.
Crepes. Well, we love Crepes.
If they hear this, they're going to be very upset.
I've heard Crepes are great.
Crepes are great.
They're, I've heard them.
I don't
they've
know.
They've been a Triple J band, I think.
Yep. So I'm related to I'm making it about me now, but they're the last two bands that I saw. But I'm happy to give them a plug.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you stand up the front in the mosh pit with their dads, or you'd be up the back, wouldn't you, with your brothers?
Well, you know, I bob my head like I know what I'm doing.
We'll put some links in the episode notes to hear some of their songs.
Oh, that'd be great.
Awesome.
They're both fabulous artists.
So no comedians, musicians.
No comedians, no, but I know Jack has a bit of a chat to the audience in between songs.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Bit of a banter going on.
I'm embarrassed. I don't know the names of the band, and I call him my brother instead of my nephew. And
it's fair enough. Oh, you're getting old, mate.
I'm getting old.
You knock your head during one of those Russell Coit stunts.
I was reading today that if you take probiotics, it can make your brain foggy.
Oh, okay.
So, mate, and I do take probiotics. So you get a bit of so that's what it is. It's not me not remembering. I'm going to stop taking the probiotics.
Medication.
Medication, yeah, absolutely.
Rock on. Last band I saw was Air Supply.
I should have asked. It was not.
In 1978. No, I saw them last year.
What, no, hang on. What year?
No, last year.
I thought you said 78.
No, it's a joke.
Oh, right. Sorry, I should be up to date on my
And as my wife said, the kid said, what are you doing, Dad? Because my wife hates them. And so I had to go. I actually went with Chrissy Swan, the sister.
What for?
Because I love Air Supply. They have great songs. Great love songs.
It's a duet, aren't they?
That's what my wife said. They're not a band, they're a duo. You're not seeing a band. Don't tell the kids you're seeing a band, they're a duo.
And what was your demo that was along there?
Fat people. Seriously, fat people. I was skinny. Me and Chrissy were like supermodels walking down that aisle. Seriously, there's so many fat people and Asians. There was only two types of people at the Air Supply concert.
You know what? The next time they come, they should put that on the poster.
They were great, though, because every song they played, you knew it. All Out of Love, Lost in Love, Love and Other Bruises, You're the One That I Love. Some of their more later ones are a bit cynical. Love fucked me over. That's the one.
Well, I went to a corporate thing, a golf day, and they said, "Oh, and we've got a bit of music coming on tonight. We've got Brian Cadd," and I went, "Oh, yeah,
awesome,
Brian Cadd, yeah." And I'm like, hit after hit after hit,
awesome,
absolutely awesome.
Yeah, there you go,
there you go. So you know,
let's rock on, guys. We have a new sponsor, Glenn, beyondrest.com.au. Now, these are flotation centres.
Oh, I love them. Is that where you float in salt water at body temperature?
Yes, you float in the tank, and there's several locations around Melbourne. Go to beyondrest.com.au for the deepest experience possible in Melbourne. Love-filled temples of relaxation.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, what?
Guess who's sponsoring the show? Is it sponsoring?
Yeah. Supporting? Sponsoring?
Yep.
Is it supersimplecars.com?
Yeah, I love them.
Oh, man, you can get a pack of green cards. You got to go to the website, supersimplecards.com. Use that offer code somehow, and they're good for any occasion.
Yep.
Birthday, 21st.
Put them in your top drawer, because there's going to come the time when you go, "Oh, I'd like to drop a little note in the mail." Bang, pull them out, write them. Because they're not telling you what to write.
No.
They're giving you space to evolve on the page.
That's right. You know, Valentine's Day is coming up eventually in February next year. They're half the price of other fancy cards, and they are compostable, as we've noted before. All shipping is free. Go to supersimplecards.com.
They're simple, but they're still special.
Phone Hacks.
Hey guys, if you're looking for a new podcast, check out the Phone Hacks podcast with comedians me, Mike Goldstein, and Nick Capper.
Yep. Yeah, it's a podcast where we go through each other's phones, and we also have a special guest. We go through their phones. So the results are both cringy and funny.
Also sending hacks from each other's accounts on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. It's been ruining our lives, but it's been highly entertaining. So make sure you get in on it. It's on the Nearly Network as well. Check it out.
Yep, please check it out, because we've sacrificed a lot.
Phone Hacks.